Galatians chapter 1, Paul here writing this epistle to the church at Galatia because they had probably more than many of the other churches had people coming in and tried to lead them astray doctrinally, especially Jewish Christians trying to teach them that they had to keep the law after they got saved. And so Paul begins the epistle here in chapter 1 talking about the need for us to defend the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is important for us as Christians, especially in these last days. So beginning in verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, any other gospel is our title. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to meet here around our Savior, around your word. And Lord, I pray we would all open our hearts to hear from you this morning, and the Holy Spirit would use the powerful word of God to pierce our hearts and change us and grow us. And Lord Jesus Christ will be magnified. We ask this in his name. Amen. So Paul here is, as you can see, trying to help the Galatians through this struggle of people bringing in false doctrine, people trying to add to or pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, we see that all around us today as well. But as we walk through the passage, Paul starts off there in verse 6 talking about the grace of Christ. Now, the gospel that you and I preach, if you go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, is referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. Now, the reason for that is because we live in what we call the age of grace. Now, the Bible says that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He brought in this age through Calvary, this age of grace, where we are, as we read in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are ye saved." And it's through the 100% grace of God that we find Christ as our Savior. But notice here in Acts 20, 24, Paul here saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. And he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The gospel of the grace of God. The Bible says in Titus 2:11, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." We live in what's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, I'm not just making this up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and we'll see this. The Bible is dispensational. And if you're not willing to approach it that way, you're going to just get yourself into trouble and you're going to start reading other people's mail and thinking it applies to you. But notice here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." The Apostle Paul is explaining that God gave him some very wonderful and yet very mysterious revelations that were unknown to the Old Testament saints. As we'll see later, that there would be a church, that there would be one body of Christ made up of all believers. Eternal security, we could go on and on. And if you could choose a dispensation to be born in, this would be the one. Let me tell you, the dispensation of grace. Would you want to be born in the tribulation period? Would you want to even be born during the kingdom, where we see at the end of the kingdom that Satan rounds up an innumerable multitude of people to actually rebel against Jesus Christ, living in perfect conditions? This is the age to be born in. Hallelujah. The age of grace. The dispensation, as we read here, of grace. And that's what Paul says. He says, I'm amazed that some of you have actually been removed from grace unto another gospel. that you've allowed people to come in and tell you that it's not just grace, but there's more to it. And here 2,000 years later, things haven't changed. They've just gotten worse, haven't they? We have people telling you, well, okay, yeah, you need to believe in Jesus, and then you need to keep the Ten Commandments. Or, and then you need to get baptized, or you need to join this church, or whatever, but they're wanting you to add some sort of a work to grace. And by the way, they can't mix. God makes that clear. Go to Romans 11:6, and I'll show you this. You cannot mix grace and works. And so, if you want to get saved by works, then you cannot get saved by grace. And if you're going to get saved by grace, you cannot get saved by works. You can't mix them. Notice Romans 11:6. The Bible says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Paul makes it very clear here. You cannot mix grace and works. But that's exactly what these Judaizers were trying to do to the Galatian Christians, was mix the two and say, okay, it's fine that you trusted Jesus. Now you need to get circumcised. Now you need to keep the Ten Commandments. You need to keep the Old Testament law. And they were confused. They didn't have the New Testament like we have. It wasn't finished yet. So all they had was what people told them. And they were being led astray. And Paul says, I'm amazed. He says, I marvel that you're being removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says there in verse 7, which is not another. In other words, there is only one true gospel for you and I, and that's the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we'll explain what that is in a few moments. Are there other gospels? Absolutely. When Jesus and John the Baptist first started preaching, they preached what God calls the gospel of the kingdom. And what was that gospel? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It was you Jews need to repent because the king is here offering you the kingdom. And if you'll repent as a nation, he will give you the kingdom. Now they didn't repent, and so the offer was withdrawn. And Jesus referred to that in Matthew chapter 4 as the gospel of the kingdom. You and I don't preach that gospel. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. That you must trust Jesus Christ and through the grace of God alone, you will be born again. But as Paul said here, there is no other for you and I. But he says there in verse 7, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They would take the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and they would pervert it. Now that gospel, you and I know, is not complicated. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll see where Paul defines it. Jesus himself said that if you don't receive it as a little child, you can't even enter. It's that simple that children can understand it. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He died for our sins. That's why when we present the gospel to people, we always start with sin. Because if we aren't sinners, Jesus didn't need to die. He died for our sins. We are sinners. Jesus Christ paid the penalty that we owe for being sinners. And hallelujah, he rose again from the dead to show he had conquered death. And because of that, he offers us eternal life. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not complicated. Paul began to clearly preach it there in Acts 16 when he was in the jail. And the jailer came to him after the earthquake and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." I love that verse. Just believe on Jesus Christ. It's not complicated. Go to James chapter 1 verse 21 and God makes it very clear that the gospel of Jesus Christ is contained in God's Word. And the Word of God actually has a part in our salvation. Which isn't surprising since Jesus is the Word. Amen. But notice James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what this world needs. But Paul said there would be some that would pervert it. We have to be on the lookout. We have to be prepared. We have to be watching and listening. And when someone comes along and says, I have something new, your ears should immediately perk up and say, wait a minute, it's been 2,000 years. There's nothing new. It's the same Bible. Same Holy Spirit. It's nothing new. And so I need to check what you're saying in light of God's preserved perfect word. Because you might be trying to pervert the gospel. And some would come along, and as we see in verse 8, even claim that an angel gave them something new. That's what it says in verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven. It doesn't say an angel from hell, does it? It says, even if an angel from heaven comes down and says to you, I'm going to give you a new gospel. Paul says, let him be accursed. How about that? You know, Joseph Smith claims that he got his new gospel from an angel. The angel Moroni came down and said, I'm going to give you a new gospel, the latter day gospel. And I'm going to show you some special golden plates that are hidden over here in this mound of dirt. And only you're going to be allowed to read them and write a book, and then they're going to disappear. And now we have millions of people following what that angel supposedly said. Now, I personally don't believe an angel had anything to do with it, but he claimed that an angel did. Then we had another woman, her name is Ellen G. White. She said, well, I had a dream and I went to heaven and there were angels there and they told me that the commandments were more important than the gospel and that the fourth commandment was the most important of all the commandments. So I'm going to write a book and I'm going to start a new religion. And anybody who goes to church on Sunday, that's the mark of the beast. And now millions of people follow that teaching. She had a dream. It never ends. And sadly, most of them start in America. I don't know what to say about that, but that's just the truth of it. If you go to 1 Kings 13, I want to show you something very interesting. There's a story. I don't have time to read the whole story. But there was a prophet, an old prophet, and he had heard about a true prophet who had come to town to give a prophecy. And this old prophet really wanted to spend some time with this true prophet. And look what he said to him, 1 Kings 13:18. And he said unto them, I am a prophet as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord. And so he came to this true prophet and he said, God told me through an angel that you're supposed to come to my house and have dinner with me. The only problem was that God had already told this true prophet, I want you to go, I want you to prophesy, and I want you to leave, and I don't want you to stop at anybody's house, I don't want you to do anything. Just go, prophesy, and leave. And so the old prophet said, oh, an angel told me that you're supposed to come to my house. And so he said, well, okay, if an angel told you, then I need to go to your house. And so he went to his house. And when he left, God killed him for disobedience. And that old prophet said, that silly prophet disobeying God. Well, you're the one that told him to. But he claimed that an angel had told him. My friend, an angel is not going to tell you anything. Those days are gone. And if you're going to claim that an angel did, that's fine. But if it doesn't line up with this book 100%, I'm sorry, but you're a liar. Because God never contradicts his own word. Never. We're told in 1 John 4 that we're to try the spirits, whether they are of God. Amen? Try them against what? Against this book. The truth that we have, our foundation, our authority. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, there shall arise false Christs, and there shall arise false prophets. And it says, and they shall show great signs and wonders. Those days are coming, by the way. Especially during a tribulation period. There's going to be many miracles, many signs, many wonders, and they're all going to have one purpose, and that's to lead people to worship the Antichrist, not to lead people to worship God. So our authority has to be God's word. And so Paul says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. In 1 Corinthians 16, it's translated anathema, which means cursed. So this is God speaking to us. So what can we do about it? Well, go to Ephesians 4:14, and God explains that it's up to us as God's children to know the word well enough that we can recognize when it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, but that somebody trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is our responsibility to know the word. Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children. In other words, if you're saved, God wants you to grow up. Amen? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Tossed to and fro. It amazes me today how many Christians are constantly tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because they don't know the Word of God. And they hear something on YouTube and say, yeah, that must be true. It's on YouTube. Yeah, that's pretty dangerous. Why not go to the Word of God instead and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, which He promised He would give? But instead, they're tossed to and fro. God says if they bring any other doctrine, He even says in 2 John, chapter 1, of course, verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. In other words, even if someone comes to your door and they're offering a perverted gospel, don't even let them in your house. That's what God says. And don't say, God bless you. Because they are serving Satan and they're trying to lead people to hell. Don't say, God bless you. It's okay to say, I will pray for your soul, but don't say God bless you to them. That's not what they need. So back to our passage, verse 9. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach, well, what are we commanded to do? Preach. Preach the gospel, amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So look at Romans 2, if you would, verse 16. What does Paul mean, that preached of me? Well, like I said, the church age was a complete mystery to the Old Testament saints. We know that because the Bible says so. But the gospel that you and I preach in its purest form, Paul actually refers to it as his gospel. Look at it, Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So is Paul being prideful here? I don't think so, since God wrote these words. I go to Romans 16 now, but Paul is explaining that through the Holy Spirit, when God called Paul, Paul brought us something new. It's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. Not in the Old Testament. If you think you found the church in the Old Testament, I'm sorry, you didn't. Because God says it's not there. Look at Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And in many other places, Paul explains that this was a secret. It was a mystery to the Old Testament saints. What they did see Calvary. That's in the Old Testament, the prophecies. They saw Jesus come to earth. They saw Jesus die on the cross. They even saw Jesus rise again. And you know what they saw after that? Tribulation period. And then the kingdom. They did not see the church. It's just not there. That's why Paul calls it his gospel, my gospel. Because God, through Paul, brought us this amazing truth. And he even says that in verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave it to me directly, he says here in Galatians 1:12. He gave to direct revelation, he gave me all of these truths about the church age. And through the Holy Spirit, then Paul gave us Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Philemon and probably Hebrews. One third of the New Testament written by Paul. So if you're going to dismiss Paul, you might as well just put your Bible away. But that's the truth of the matter. It came through Paul. Now look on down at Galatians chapter 1, look down at verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So just to make it real, God, right after Paul got saved, God said, get out of here and let's go be alone for a while. And look what he says. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, Paul becoming the 12th apostle that replaced Judas, said, I didn't go straight to Jerusalem so that those guys could teach me. No, God intentionally said, I want you not to go to Jerusalem, but I want you to go into Arabia. Look how long. 3 years. Now, we all don't often hear about this. But after Paul got saved, God took him out to the Arabian desert for 3 years. And then he came back. And he says, then I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So we rely a lot on Paul, don't we? God gave him these amazing truths, which he then wrote down for us. And hallelujah that we have the writings of Paul. I remember years ago when I told my grandmother, who's now gone, that I was going to be a preacher. She said, a preacher? You mean a Baptist preacher? She was Methodist. I said, yes, ma'am, a Baptist preacher. She said, but you guys believe that women shouldn't be preachers. You silly Baptists. I said, well, it's in the Bible that they're supposed to be the husband of one wife. She said, oh, Paul wrote that. And I was just, my mouth fell open and I'm thinking, so we can discount what Paul said. There went one third of the New Testament. So what do we have left? You know, there went Romans. We all love Romans. And the pastoral epistles, they're out the door. But that's what she was taught, that the writings of Paul were you know, less important than the writings of the rest of the New Testament. If we're going to take that attitude, we're in serious trouble. Because most of what we understand about church doctrine comes from the writings of Paul. And that's what he says, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So you and I have a job to do. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 27. And that is, yes, we are to be preaching this gospel, amen, to the whole world. We're to be telling people the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins and that he rose again and paid for their sins and conquered death and offers them eternal life if they'll trust him as their Savior. Notice Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. That's you and I. That's our gospel, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's an aspect here that we don't think about very often. Yes, we're to be preaching it, but we're also to be defending it. Look at Jude, and I'll show you this. Jude verse 3. That we have a responsibility to protect and to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there are people out there perverting it and leading people to hell. And we're supposed to be telling them the truth. And if we come across someone that is perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility to correct them with God's word. In a loving way, of course, but we have to do it. Look what he says in Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend means to fight. So yeah, we're not to be contentious with one another, but we are to contend for the faith. We're to contend for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility as God's soldiers, amen? And we are soldiers to fight for the truth. And we're going to find ourselves in situations where we are required to do just that. A lot of Christians just back off. You know, when they're faced with someone perverting the gospel, they just walk away. But God says, no, I want you to stand. I want you to contend for it. Because people need it and they're going to go to hell without it. That makes it super important. Amen? Think about it. Could there be anything more important than people being rescued from hell? No, that's why Christ died. So Paul is telling these Christians at Galatia, stop putting up with these people coming in and perverting the gospel and trying to add to the gospel, whatever, works, commandments, baptism, whatever it might be. Stop listening to them. And stand and tell them they're wrong and to get out. That's a scriptural responsibility, to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you question whether or not it came from God, well, then really you're in the wrong church and you really don't need your Bible. Because that's Christians believe this is our authority. Amen. Not what somebody saw in a dream. Not what some angel told them. Not what YouTube told them. But what this Bible says. Hence, back to the responsibility for each one of us to know this book. So that we're not tossed to and fro by perversions of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul said, I want you to understand that if someone is perverting the gospel, let them be accursed. It's not a word you would expect in God's word, is it? But where'd that perverted gospel come from? It came from the devil, who's the god of this world. Is the devil cursed? Absolutely. Is he going to spend forever in the lake of fire? Yes, he is. So he says, let him be accursed. If somebody tries to change the gospel, somebody tries to pervert the gospel, someone tries to add to the gospel, you know they're wrong. Even if they say they had a dream, even if they say an angel spoke unto them, even if they say Jesus spoke unto them directly, they're wrong. Because the gospel is the gospel. And it doesn't change. And it's been written down for us by our Creator and preserved. And we have it in our hands. And we need to test whatever is said against this book. Any other gospel, which for you and I, there is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. So tell as many people as you can. Amen. Jesus loves you. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. Jesus, God, became a man and died in your place and paid for your sins so you didn't have to go to hell. And then he rose again to show he conquered death and offers you eternal life if you will but repent and trust him. And then it's up to them, through the wooing of the Holy Spirit, whether or not they trust Christ. But give it. Give the gospel. Because let me tell you, the Jehovah's Witnesses are out knocking on doors giving their gospel, aren't they? And the Mormons are out there giving their gospel. And we could go on and on. And people are listening. And they're accepting. And they're becoming, as Jesus said, twofold more the child of hell. So they need to hear the true gospel. And it's up to us to take it, as Paul says in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life to this lost and dying world. If they're coming to you, bring any other gospel than that which we've preached, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word.